Welcome to the MegaCast.
And welcome everybody to the MegaCast. It is Wilco here. This is episode 71. If you don't believe me, go check the records. We are here tonight with Josh. How are you going, Josh?
I am sensational, my good man, Wilco. How are you?
Oh, couldn't be better. I just turned the fan off and I'm already in a pool of sweat. It's great.
Yeah.
Love it in Queensland. Joey, you're joining us before your big adventures. How are you going tonight?
I'm excited, but also panicking at the same time. Everything's organized. I've just got to fucking turn up and hope the airports aren't closed in Tokyo like they were today.
Nah, they'll be fine, mate. They'll open them just for you. You just flash that badge of Ultra Super Mega and you'll be fine.
Man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get into the last day yet, so we'll see.
Yeah, we'll try and get you there. Don't worry. We'll talk about Evo in a sec so we can link this stuff to them as well. But joining us tonight, the very, very, very special guest is Ian from another indie. So how are you going, Ian?
Hey, man, I'm doing well.
You're joining us from whereabouts at the moment?
I'm in China at the moment. I'm in Xiamen, which is in between Hong Kong and Shanghai on the coast for geography nerds out there.
Oh, there's plenty of them. Don't worry about that. And it's beautiful over there, I hear, at the moment. I'm jealous, actually.
Yeah, we're in the middle of like the warmest winter on record. So it's been, I mean, global warming has its downsides, but it's been quite pleasant as an individual.
That's it. It used to be I just wanted to live in summer all year round. Now I just want to live in winter all year round in this world. It's brilliant. Yeah. So tell us what games you're working on. You're the marketing director at the moment from another indie. I'm just reading here. What games are you with at the moment?
So we're a video games publisher based out of China. We focus on indie games. So our big one that we're talking about at the moment is Le Grand Legacy, which launches in 18 hours, which is rather terrifying. but we're best known for Lost Castle. And we have another couple of titles, Sinner Sacrifice for Redemption and Shots Fired, which are coming out in the next few months as well.
Yes, Josh can't shut up about Shots Fired. Gets a word in every podcast about it.
Right? It's such a fun game to play. And, you know, we had a pretty good talk at PAX last year, Ian, about both Sinner and Shots Fired and Original Journey. And I'm just really keen to get my hands on final products of both Shots Fired and Sinner because they are so fun. They seriously are.
Yeah, they're pretty intense. Yeah, we've kind of just feature locked both of them this week. So it's kind of... It's good, like it's in theory done, but theories are a fine and wonderful thing. But like we've got all the stuff in them now, so that's good.
Yep. Now just got to do the final polish.
Oh God, yeah.
So what's it like? 18 hours before release, everything's perfect. Everything's ready to go. You just press a button, right? That's all you do.
Kind of. So like right now, we're kind of in the eye of the storm. So, you know, everything's gone out to media already. It's just a case of sitting back and waiting for the game to actually drop and then dealing with that. Because, you know, especially when you're launching on PC, there tends to be some niggles. You know, we're a small publisher. So we do about QA with around like 50 to 100 people with around 100 to 200 different machines. But there's always going to be somebody that's got some weird thing that you've never bloody heard of that crashes something so, you know, you have to kind of be ready for that. And occasionally, you know, something just doesn't work. Like we've had that before where everything's worked with us and then we put it out into the wild and it just doesn't. But we know for a fact that the game is going to be fine. It's just a case of whether we're going to have any little niggles or anything.
Oh, don't you miss the days of the game just being released, gone gold, and you send it out and you just don't have to worry about it ever?
Yeah, I really love the idea of doing console stuff. Console stuff is fun because you know what you're dealing with.
Yeah, that's it. It makes such a difference. I imagine the Switch is the big thing at the moment for you guys, though, because a lot of indie games are coming to the Switch at the moment.
Yeah, we're about to submit Lost Castle to the Nintendo cert and see how that goes.
Yep.
So that should be coming to a storefront near you guys soon. And that's all four-player, dungeon crawly, co-op-y, good stuff, as well as like PvP modes and everything. So it's kind of one for everyone. And all of our other stuff, we're sort of formulating our Switch plan. Yeah. But it's a great console. That's all I play now.
It, no, my PS4 is sitting in the back collecting dust at the moment. It's my PC or my Switch, and that's it. Now, Joey's just come across to the dark side as well. Are you enjoying your Switch as well, Joey?
Oh, look, I haven't even had a chance to play it since we last spoke. But with the flights to Japan coming up, I'm very excited.
Oh, yeah.
You'll get some good time there.
The Switch changed flying. I've gone from hating it to being like, yes, 12 hours, no internet, me and my Switch, let's do this.
Yeah.
Can we have a stopover in LA or something? Just add 17 hours to the flight. That'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be absolutely fine. Especially if you give me some drink coupons.
That's it.
I'm only worried about the battery. That's the only thing I'm worried about.
It varies depending on the game. Like, some games don't seem to drain much at all. Like Stardew Valley, I feel like I can play all day.
Yes.
But Zelda only lasts a couple of hours.
Damn it. Take a battery take a big battery pack and then a second one.
Yeah. Take about three, Joey.
Just make sure you get the right battery packs though, because they have to be Switch acceptable ones, because most are not.
Yeah, if you get the one that has a USB-C port as well, it just charges that quickly fast. So you actually play it and it will charge up instead of draining slower. So yeah, lots of stuff there. So what's it like being a publisher for indie games? Like, are you on the search as well for all these little titles that no one's ever heard of?
Yeah, we spend a lot of time at conventions and things like that, but not just like the big PAXes like where we met at, but all the kind of local smaller conventions. We try to get to as many of those in Asia as possible. And that's where we kind of meet a lot of people, like the Little Grand guys. That's how we met them. Shots Fired, that's how we met them. That's where we spend most of our time. You know, Asia's our stomping ground, so we try and get around as much as possible and find the cool stuff that, you know, other people aren't getting. Our location is a big boon to us.
Yeah.
Being so central.
Do you have lots of people coming to you and saying, hey, I've got this really cool thing, or is it more you have to go find them?
In the last 6 months, it's kind of become them searching us, but prior to that, it was us searching them.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good sign. It feels like a good sign.
Definitely does. Now, Le Grand Legacy that comes out tomorrow, what is it launching on, just Steam at the moment?
Yeah, so not just Steam, but just PC. So we're launching on pretty much every PC store you can imagine, but we're PC only. We're going to be doing the console stuff afterwards and figuring out a decent console schedule and how we're going to organize that. But yeah, it's PC only for now, because we need to get the game out to people.
Yeah, that's
We've been working
fair.
On it for a very long time. The developers have worked incredibly hard. But, you know, small indie teams, sometimes it's tough to get everything done at once. PC only tomorrow. But it seems that PC is the way to go at the moment, and I'm really excited to see all of the PC Master Race really grabbing hold of it.
That's the spirit.
So, Ian, mate, as I said, you know, we had a pretty good talk at PAX, and we've spoken a little bit since then and about some of the games. So Le Grand Legacy is one that we haven't really discussed at length. So tell us a little bit about it. What's it all about? What is it?
So Le Grand Legacy is a JRPG, like really inspired by like the JRPGs of like mine and probably your guys' youth as well. Like, you know, like the Final Fantasies 7s, the 8s, the 9s, the Suikoden's, all that kind of stuff.
All the good games.
I mean, I love JRPGs and I love JRPGs now. But I do find that most JRPGs aren't kind of what my heart tells me a JRPG is. You know, like a lot of, like Final Fantasy 15, for example, great game, loved it. I really struggle to call it a JRPG, because that's just not what it feels like to me at all. Whereas Le Grand really is a JRPG, like in that kind of classic sense of it, you know, turn-based battles, party systems, traveling this kind of big world and upgrading stuff, like airships and all that kind of good stuff, you know, like the stuff that maybe we haven't seen in a while. And it's all done in like a very stylized format. It's designed to look like a kind of PS2 game, but like, you know, massively scaled up. So it's got that kind of like real chunky prettiness to it, but also set against the static backdrops, which are all oil paintings. So you're actually kind of playing your way through this JRPG with these, you know, amazing artistic backdrop, as well as like these kind of like really coming home kind of JRPG feeling. And it's just great. Like, the combat's really clever. It's one of those ones that, you know, you play the first 10 minutes, and you go, oh, I've got this. And then you start getting your ass kicked, and you go like, wait a minute, why am I getting my ass kicked? And then you start fiddling with some of the other things, and you're realizing like, oh, okay. So these different things and swapping out characters mid-battle is super important. And using things like your guard, for example, is really important in this game, which in most JRPGs I find, you know, if you have like the block mechanic, it's really only useful when your character's about to die and you want to heal them up. Whereas in Le Grand, every character's block has like an extra effect. So whether it's like building up AP or restoring a small amount of HP or reflecting damage back at them with a counter. So actually like strategically using when you block and when you don't block is really important. And it's just a really good, fun game, like a really solid story. It's beautiful. The cutscenes are incredible. The guys have worked so hard to make these like really, again, kind of like Final Fantasy VIII style cutscenes, you know, where they're like, they almost look like a AAA Studios kind of take on it. In these cutscene FMV formats, it's the whole game's just beautiful. I love it. I'm really, really excited to see how people react to it.
Yeah, cool. All
right. Well, I'm scared already.
So just while we're still on the subject, do we still have things? Because I know there's one of my favorite RPGs from the last 10 years, I guess, was Lost Odyssey. But it didn't have summons, though. Well, that was the only thing that kind of bothered me about it. It was JRPG to a T, but I don't know why, but summons really, like, that's kind of one of my favorite parts of all those types of games. Do we have that in Le Grand Legacy?
Could you say that again? You're a little bit crackly.
Do we have like summons in Le Grand Legacy? Like,
not really. It's, you have like these like kind of super attacks that you build up, so you get that kind of like cool sequence where you're murdering astronomical amounts of things, but it's actually your character doing it as opposed to them summoning in some external force.
Right. Okay. Super attacks. I can handle that.
You can get down to that.
Super attacks are cool.
Yeah. Joey's sold, I think. All right. And now, so, I mean, you said, you know, it's releasing in 18 hours. High stress for you. So I guess there hasn't been a lot of other things that you've been doing, like other games that you've picked up and played on the side or anything like that. You've been fairly focused on this, I take it.
It's always the time for a bit of gaming. I'm never that busy.
So what have you been playing lately, mate? What's been grabbing your attention?
Crawl. Have you guys played Crawl? I think that's an Australian studio, right? Powerhoof.
It's on my list, but the thing is, I don't have friends close by. Has it got online yet, or is it still local?
It isn't. It's still local. Yeah.
God damn it.
We've been playing the heck out of that. Just me, my flatmate, and like four or five people coming over every other night and just sitting down and playing Crawl for a couple of hours with a few beers.
What's it like having friends?
It's exhausting, and I probably wouldn't recommend it. They're a real time sink.
Yeah, right. Keep that in mind.
I try and get you to go outside and stuff. It's a nightmare.
And why would you go outside?
It's terrible out there.
Exactly. So I've been playing a bit of that.
Yeah, Crawl I've been all about. I recently picked up Fate Extellia Umbral Star for my Switch, which is one of those like just really weird anime games that I guess like the primary market is in Japan, and that I think it's been an ongoing series. It was on my Switch, and I was like, well, sod it. It's on 25% off on Switch this week. I'm going to give it a punt. And that's been really enjoyable as well, in like that kind of like ridiculous, over-the-top anime kind of way. Like, it's just been really, really cathartic. It's basically a Dynasty Warriors thing, but set in like a Sword Art Online style universe. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I got really confused with the whole Fate universe after the third time I watched the same anime with a different name and little different, you know, little changes here and there. I'm like, what the hell is even going on?
Yeah, that's just kind of what I think's happening, right? Yeah. I just finished the end of my first playthrough, so I think I've got two more playthroughs, and it's all basically the same story. You're just seeing it from somebody else's perspective. Yeah. It's kind of like a not so good Nier. That's
yeah.
the feeling that I'm getting from it.
I'm not so good, Nia. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. But you know, like I'm liking it. It's really fun. Definitely worth the price tag. And I'd recommend it for anyone looking for some real just button mashing catharsis.
Yep. There you go. All right. Well,
how about you guys? What are you guys playing?
Hey, it's like he's heard our podcast before. That's what we usually do next as well. This is good. I like this. We'll go to Joey first. What have you been up to, Joey?
I haven't played anything in the last week, which is pretty sad.
That's why I went to you first, because you got nothing to say.
It's for a good cause. I've been packing for Japan, for Evo. I got my passport sorted. That was a fucking nightmare. So I had to pay like $500 to get an express passport because my last passport expired. I think I explained a lot last week. It's like, so there was 1 month left after the travel date before it expires. And you can't travel unless you have 6 months left. So yeah. I had to get the express done. And I got it, picked it up yesterday. So we're all sorted on that front.
That hurts my head, eh?
Now, yeah. I made a beautiful little title artwork for our podcast episode last week. And I was going to steal your picture from 10 years ago on your passport and put it in smack bang in the center. Because that's one of the best photos I've ever seen of you, mate. Seriously, grow your hair again.
No, I don't know. I'm on the fence about long hair on myself. I'm just like, I like the way it feels, but it doesn't look that great to me.
Oh, no, it looks like Max Murder or something.
It looks brilliant. You look like you were going to drive a combi down to Byron for the weekend, to be honest.
That's not a compliment.
No, but that's what I thought.
But on top of that, so today I heard the news that Japan's Tokyo Narita Airport got closed down because of snow. So 250 international flights are all cancelled. I think they were going out of Japan. But yeah, so I called up Jetstar. I'm like, is my flight still going? Is my flight still going?
They wouldn't have an answer for you.
No, I mean, the girl said, yeah, it's still going. So I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. That makes me feel slightly better.
Do you have travel insurance? Did you get travel insurance?
Yeah, I'll be hitting up the post office for that because they're pretty good about it. They've got all those sort of little like travel visas and pack. I've already talked to my bank about the visas and things, so I'm not worried about money. But well, other than that, I don't have any. But I'm not worried about travel money.
Right.
But on top of that, I've been, you know, I'm not sure if you guys have. Oh, you would have seen that where I had the hitbox up with the picture in the podcast channel ages ago. Someone asked about it.
Yep.
So that lunchbox. I made up. Yeah, the lunchbox with buttons on it.
Yeah, the lunchbox with buttons.
I think I mentioned last week briefly that I have been talking to wanted to talk to a Japanese manufacturer of like these, you know, aluminium cases and things like that. I hit him up and I was like, oh, can you know, do you guys do like small scale samples and things like that? Because I wanted specific sizes. And they're like, oh, we don't do specific sizes anymore. Have a look at these. You know, this is the catalog, blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, these two will do. And I gave myself a crash course in CAD, which I think I explained last week. And after that, I sent it through to them. And we'll be going back and forth for like two or three more days. And this is like, it's, you know, it rounds out to like a $200 sale. But the guy's like, they gave me like, because I'll be staying in an Airbnb. And I said, you know, can I come and pick it up on the Monday morning? He's like, oh, look, that Airbnb is really far away from our office. We'll send it to a courier's post office, you know, courier's office really close to there. And they gave me like a little map and all this other shit. They put in so much effort and it's like a $200 sale. So I can't believe they did so much. You know,
it's the culture, man. It's the culture.
Yeah, like, yeah, definitely. It's two boxes, one with a slanted top and one with a flat top, and with like 15 holes or 16 holes drilled in it. And that's all, you know, that's all it is. And I was like, okay, cool. Thanks. So they sent me like a little map and like, oh, you know, if you can't find it, just show someone on the street and I'll show you how to get there. I was like, yeah, I don't think that'll fly in Brisbane.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't.
Probably not if I was that person on the street you showed it to. Oh, we got that. Sorry. You're too busy. Too busy.
Yeah.
So I've got, on top of Evo, I've got to actually pick up some goods and like meeting a friend at Tokyo airport, and he's going to take me through and just show me a whole bunch of shit on the Friday night when I get there. So I'm actually going to miss the first day of Evo, which sucks. So I'm going to be on a plane, so I won't be able to stream any of it.
So you're only going to have the second day guaranteed at this stage. So you're going there for one day. Awesome.
No, look, if I can't make it into the third day because the international ticket's just evaporating within 15 minutes, then so be it. I'll just go and do something else in the snow.
Okay. So if that's all, we'll move on to Josh because I know he's got hardly anything to talk about as well because he's been a busy man. What have you been doing, Josh?
I picked up the new Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth game, Hacker's Memory.
Yeah, whatever. Cool. No problems.
Picked that up on the PS4.
No one cares.
Wanted to get it on my Vita and got that as well, and then found out that the Vita saves, although it says it's cross save and cross platform because there's DLC you get on the Vita that you can't get on the PlayStation, the saves don't carry over.
Oh,
so
no.
I'm a little bit frustrated with that. But it's a decent game, and there's gonna be a write up on it on the website in the coming weeks. Mm-hmm. I know Whippy from our lovely communities picked it up as well, and he's probably loving it. I've got some issues with it, which I'll cover. But the biggest one, just it feels like an expansion. It should have been an expansion to the main game, not a whole new game.
Hmm. There's a lot of that getting around.
Yeah, it just look because it's almost as if the story is happening at the same time that the story happens in the first Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth. Just from somebody else's perspective, but everything else is the same. Like the combat's the same, all the mechanics and everything are the same. So it's like
So they played Nier Automata as well.
Yeah,
And they decided to re-release it as stages.
Yeah, re-release it. Yeah, as stages. Yeah. So I've been playing that. I picked up Ghost Recon as well because I've been, everybody's been talking about how much fun they've been having killing Predator. So I picked that back
really?
Up. I've been playing a bit of that.
Did you not see my clip of when we tried to kill Predator and we died with like a second ago?
Yeah, I understand it's pretty hard to do. So I've been playing a bit of that as well.
We played the four of us and I think we had 11 or 12 attempts and we killed him once, but you've got to get out of the area in time. And I literally had 3 steps to go and died. So
it's a nuke, man. You got to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, no, I kept on shooting him in the head. I did the full, got the pistol out and back of the head shot. And then everyone's like, get out of there. I'm like, oh, yeah.
You silly, silly codger.
It was about 11:30 at night and I wasn't really concentrating too much. So that's my problem.
But you're enjoying it?
So that's the first time you've got it, is it?
No, my brother Matthew gets very angry with me when I say this, but I did have it previously and wasn't really enjoying it, mainly because there was nobody else that I had on my friends list that was playing it at the time. As a single player game, it's not very fun.
No, it can get tedious. Rough.
Yeah, it can get really tedious. You need to have that other person, at least one other person in there to make it a bit more interesting. Yeah. So I did get it and then I had returned it for a full store credit and picked up something else. God only knows what that was.
Yeah.
But it was on sale for like $30. So I've gone, I'll pick it back up. But Matt gets really, really angry and I really hope he listens to this because he gets really angry when he finds out that I've either returned a game or traded in a game.
Yeah, he does that with me too because I'm selling my stuff all the time. whatever.
Whatever. Whatever.
It happens.
He's just a hoarder. Don't worry about him.
He is a hoarder. What have you been playing, Wilco?
Well, as I briefly mentioned, Ghost Recon Wildlands on Thursday night, I streamed that with the boys. So the four of us went down and we absolutely wiped out one of the territories from start to finish, which is good fun. We had a few bad efforts at the last boss, but that included me running him over once and blowing up the car that was next to the helicopter that he was in, which blew up the helicopter, which killed him as well. So it was probably my fault, I'm hearing, as a pretty common theme there, that we took longer than we did. But anyway, doesn't matter. Had fun doing that. Then I played some Division on Friday night with Stevie Jar. It's now picked up the game, so we're running him through that. It was really good, and we're getting pretty excited about Global Event that starts in T-minus 3 hours. But then we got bored of that. We went to PUBG for about an hour before we got bored of that and went back to the Division. So,
yeah, I didn't think you would have been on PUBG for very long.
Nah, it was pretty terrible. I'm just not good anymore at it. Like when we're playing it, we're getting seconds and thirds, and it was pretty interesting. But now we're getting like 15th and 16th, and it's just like, nah, I just can't be bothered. But Monster Hunter World Beta, I played that the other night. Just had the beginner level of that because we get a bit of practice in before we start reviewing it in the next day or two. So that was good fun. Still don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what weapon out of the 14 that I'm going to pick, but definitely not the bow, which I did pick in that run through. I was terrible at that.
It's because you can't shoot, man.
That probably could be it. They didn't have explosions on the end of it, which rules me out of anything.
Rules you out. Yeah. That splash damage, mate. That splash damage.
Oh, yeah, that's it. The other big thing, I've been playing with After Effects, trying to learn that for the last 3 or 4 days, trying to make a new little intro for my videos and a few little sort of stuff for my Twitch in OBS. So I got a little explosion and an avalanche, and then my name comes up with a bit of frost on the screen. It all works pretty well. So I'm pretty happy with that. I have no idea how it happened because I made it. And yeah, so luckily it all just worked together. So we'll keep that going. I just want to make a few like stream starting soon to be right back, little video bits and transitions and stuff. So that's been fun. But the biggest news of the week for me is we're going to take it out of the news section and we're going to put it right here is Damsel got released on Steam Early Access during this week. Actually, it happened last week, and they gave me the inside word, but they just started promoting it yesterday. So congratulations to Screwtape Studios for getting that game onto Steam Early Access. So Meg and Anthony, I know you two listen to it because you're going to be on the podcast next week. But yeah, congratulations. And definitely go pick up that game. It is so good if you like a platformers and pretty graphics and stuff. So definitely action platformer. So that's my week. Is there anything there you want to talk to me about, or we just go straight into it?
I think you've covered kind of everything there, Wilco, that we want to talk about. I guess, you know, the only question I've got, I'll probably throw back at Ian, just because, you know, you're in China, Ian, and last year we were talking a lot about how PUBG was coming into China and how big PUBG was going to be in China. Like, is it, do you hear about it much over there?
Oh God, yeah. I mean, I think it's actually bigger in China than it is anywhere else in the world, if I remember correctly. Something like over 50% of the users are, or the active users at least, are Chinese.
Did I hear somewhere that they were getting a mobile game in China, a mobile version of it in China?
Well, they've got loads of mobile copies of it. And there's at least 2 or 3 mobile copies of it that I know of, but at least one of them is huge. Like, yeah, I think one of them is probably making the same amount of money, if not more, than the actual PUBG itself, because I see everybody playing it all the time. Yeah, I think it's by Cena. I can't remember the name of it, though.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Are you a PUBG player over there?
I have tried to play PUBG, and I have failed miserably to play PUBG.
They're the best kinds of failing, though.
Yeah, I really like the idea of the game, but my experience with PUBG is, ooh, what's this? That looks cool. Let's go for a walk. Oh, I'm dead. And repeat.
Yeah.
I just don't have a good experience with that game at all. I just, I'm terrible at it.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, no, that was pretty much our Friday night with it. We'd get all geared up. We'd spend 20 minutes doing it, and then we'd die without shooting a bullet so many times. I'm just like, I want PvE in there as well. Like, I want a PvE VP world.
What you should look into is Escape from Tarkov. That's something my friend's been harping on to me about, and it's got it has both of those things while still being the thing I'm most interested in is the fact that it has really, really in-depth gun customization mechanics. So you can like pull shit apart, add extra stocks, put like scopes on top of scopes. You can make ridiculous things that just don't. Like, you know, aren't logical in the slightest. But it's like, it's cool to look at. And you can take it out in the field and try and shoot something with it. And like you're trying to look through the bottom scope and there's another scope in front of it, so you can't use it. So it's like, it's realistic as well. I mean, it's...
I put a grenade launcher on it and blow things up? Because that's what I miss in PUBG. I just want to blow stuff up.
I think you can put like an underground attachment on it.
I'm just saying, just pick up Fortnite, guys. Just get Fortnite.
Yeah. Tarkov is way more like difficult than I think PUBG will be, but the PvE stuff, you can kind of you can avoid people and just kill the scrub. Like, I think they're called scavs, S-C-A-V-E-V-S. And like those NPC characters are kind of running around. You can go and kill them.
That's what I want. Like, that's what we did.
And just run out.
When we're playing Armor 3 pretty heavily, which is what this is sort of like, it's a mod based on the old Armor 3 stuff. It was there was players in there, but there was also then like objectives with NPCs that you had to actually go and clear out areas and stuff like that. And that was great. Like, I love that kind of stuff. I just miss shooting things. And in when it's only PvP and with players that are that good in this game, I just don't get to do it. So I understand Ian's point of view completely, that it's, yeah, just not there.
I'm kind of with you. I like my PvE stuff. Like, I don't really like any online games. I'm such an old man. I like to sit at home by myself.
Or with your friends.
Or occasionally with them. Occasionally.
Occasionally.
But yeah, just the idea of sitting with other humans on the internet is
scary.
Just appalling to me.
I talk to Joey once a week, and it's weird out of me.
You know, like, I'm really glad that you got over that feeling and decided to come and sit with us on the internet tonight. Then
I know, right? Yeah, I realized as I was saying it that was loaded.
Let's get away from this. Let's move into the news.
This is the fucking news.
Okay, so lots and lots of stuff in the news to talk about this week, and it's all about angry people on the internet that you don't want to be a part of. Now we're actually going to have a look. It's a pretty happy little news week this week, isn't it?
It was an interesting week. It was certainly an interesting week.
It's up and down. Like, last week was a fair bit of down.
Yeah.
Like, over the end of the new year and at the end of last year and the start of the new year. There was a lot of fair bit of negative stuff, but
we're a negative podcast, aren't we? So it's fine. So
we can be.
What do you want to pick out? Do you want to go through all of this? Because there's still a bit here. Like Netflix, yeah, they're still looking at app for the Nintendo Switch. That's fair. Look, I assume YouTube.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's going to make them money, I assume. Because I would 100% watch Netflix on my Switch if I could. Well, or YouTube.
Let's stick with Nintendo Twitch stuff for now. Okay. So we've got the next one down in Nintendo's list is the fucking Labo cardboard stuff.
Yeah, so how the hell does Nintendo somehow come
Hold
up
on.
With a way
I want
to
bring
to sell Ian. Cardboard to people I want to and
bring
make
Ian
a
in
shit
on this.
Ton of money.
Ian?
Yeah.
Let's say you had a developer. This is before Labo was a thing, and they came to you and said, look, we've got this really good idea. We're going to make these attachments out of cardboard, and we're going to aim them at kids that destroy everything. What do you reckon? It's going to be interactive cardboard. What would have you said to that indie dev?
As an indie project, Nintendo Labo is like the worst thing that could ever be pitched to me. Like, there's no way I could get it into the people's hands that need it.
Yep.
However, as a thing for Nintendo capitalizing on the Switch, I actually think this is brilliant. Like, I think they're going to make a lot of money off this.
I think their markups will make them money.
Well, we'll see how it goes. I mean, you know, I know that they've already announced the prices, and they're not cheap, that's for sure. But we don't know how much it's going to cost for like the individual cardboard packs on their own yet. I don't think.
So we've got the two packs at the moment. We've got the robot pack, which is like over $100, and we've got the 5-piece pack for just on $100 Australian.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, the thing is, it's going to be a case of you buy that once, and they're smart enough to make it expensive, because you know what everyone's going to do once you've bought it once? They're going to buy the cardboard from some third-party made-in-China store.
Yeah.
You know, the minute this cardboard's out in the wild, you know, you're going to be able to buy it anywhere for $5. So yeah, they kind of have to make that cost of entry expensive in order to actually pay for the initial product rather than just it ongoing,
if that
makes sense.
You can buy the cardboard for cheap now. Just go to your newsagent, buy it.
I'm gonna guess it's the wrong shape. It looks like cardboard.
Look, it looks an amazing idea, and it's completely up Nintendo's alley, the fact that it's completely out of left field and no one could have imagined this was even going to be a thing.
Hmm.
We all thought there'd be attachments, but not
this.
You're itself out of
not China. Like this.
Not like this.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of fits in with that the Google Cardboard thing and things like that. Just this idea of sort of like reducing high tech stuff to its lowest and cheapest components, which I do find interesting. Personally, though, like I've got a kid brother, and he's a bit of a screen junkie. You know, it's always iPad, Switch, Xbox, all this stuff. And to me, I think the idea of like being able to give him this blooming big chunk of cardboard, and I know he's going to sit there and cut it out and play with it and click it together and stuff like that, that to me is in itself worthwhile. And I bet you that if I'm feeling that, there are literally millions of parents who will also have that response, like the idea that they're going to get their kids to actually make something with their hands and then interact and not have to force them to do it because it's a game from Nintendo and it works with their cool new thing they got for Christmas.
That's probably a good point.
I think that I think it's going to work. I think it's really going to work. Although I do understand, like, the idea of charging $70 for cardboard is nuts. Like, I think it's gonna work. Yeah, I think people are going to really resonate with it, and I think that especially younger parents in their 30s are really, really, really gonna latch onto this.
Now, I'm a younger parent in my 30s, and I've got a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old. I love the idea. However, I'm so scared of giving it to my 7-year-old because I know the 2-year-old will come up and break it straight away.
Yeah, that's
you definitely gonna need some kind of baby gate.
But I just don't understand, like, putting cardboard in. Like, I know exactly what's gonna happen. I can see it coming a mile away, and I just.
I think that's what, I honestly think that that fits into the system. I think that it is going to get wrecked, which is where these third-party suppliers of cardboard are going to come in. What you're actually paying for with this thing is the app.
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming. That's where the price is going to be.
You're paying for the app and for the initial product, but I should imagine that, you know, if there's anyone that understands copyright and piracy, it's Nintendo, because they deal with that stuff more than anybody else because they can't lock their stuff down. So I think, you know, they've actually, within this business model, they have already considered the fact that you're only going to buy this from them once. It's going to get wrecked and then it's going to get passed on. Yeah. And whether or not they plan on having, like, you know, refill things or something, you know, I can see this being a very good business model. I would not be surprised if we end up in 2 or 3 years seeing some kind of subscription-based business model for this.
Yeah. Maybe it could be a whole loot box. They could send you a box and you get a mystery cardboard thing inside.
I've just got to say, we've said it before, you and I, Wilco. If they don't market this as like the most powerful cardboard on the gaming console market,
that's it.
You know, with the best graphics, cardboard. best pixel art cardboard. Then they've really missed an opportunity. That's all I'm saying.
That's it. Most powerful cardboard on the market.
Yeah. I think Nintendo's really doing some crazy stuff, but I think it's going to appeal to the audience that they have created, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal, the tech behind it, too. Like, from what I've seen, it just looks amazing. But, wow. Yeah, like the steering wheel, there's the foot pedal, the remote control sort of buggy kind of thing that works off vibrations. It's all phenomenal tech.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I think it's going to be a bit weird, that's for sure, and I'm sure that there's going to be all sorts of controversy when it starts breaking and people start losing their crap. But I'm still okay with it. I think it's an interesting direction for things to go, and I can't think of another material that you can kind of do that with. You know what I mean? Like cardboard, you can ship it, you can shape it, you can cut it, you can click it together. Like, it does all of that stuff. So although it kind of is a bit of a kind of cheapish feel to it, I think it's the best product for it. And of course, it hits hard on our nostalgia buttons because, you know, I think actually the market for this is me. Younger people who have kids. I mean, I don't have kids, but I could have kids if I put my mind to it.
Yeah, we all made this stuff. when we were younger playing with cardboard anyway.
So, you know, like, because actually today's kids, I don't think do. I mean, my little brother, I don't think he's ever played with a cardboard box in his life.
No.
But we did. And so when we see this, it hits us, and then we give it to them, and then they go nuts, and then we, you know, it's a great circle. I'm very impressed with the marketing.
Do you know the spin-off they need to do, though? They need to work in with IKEA, so when you buy a like something from them, yeah, it's already printed on the outside of the box, so you'll be good to go. So you, yeah. You're getting a labo and you're getting a desk for your office. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for Amiibo cardboard. That's what I'm waiting for. Just like you're gonna, they are definitely going to sell an Amiibo that is just a flat pack box.
Yeah,
it'll be a solid Snake Amiibo.
Yeah.
With a box on the outside. No.
Okay. There you go.
So that, yeah, look, I it threw me as soon as I saw it. So that's a pretty big plus, considering they thought of something that none of us ever
nobody else would
be possible.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's move on though. Is there any other Nintendo news in that? I skimming through.
No, what have we got? I don't think so.
No other Nintendo news. Okay,
we've got plenty of Microsoft stuff though.
Yeah,
so let's do the Microsoft stuff. We'll start with this whole Fable rumor, which has been growing momentum. We didn't really talk about it last week.
No, we didn't touch on it last week.
The reason for that is because the leak, well, last week's leak came from fucking Lad Bible or some shit.
Which was a Facebook link.
Yeah, it was a Facebook link to Lad Bible. Like, you know, everyone knows about the Lad Bible meme page or, like, you know, the internet humor or whatever. But now Eurogamer have come out and said, Sources close to the thing. It's all pointing to a project, but no one's said that it's actually going to happen yet.
So it's
Playground Games, who Playground we know Games, are working. Yeah. They've created a second studio. They're bringing in lots and lots of people to work on this open world game. And like we said last week, open world game is what they do well with Horizon.
The Horizon games were really good, but I'm just not worried if Fable's going to be there down there.
Well, this is the thing. So Fable's what that project is being tied to, which is strange because they're not a first-party Microsoft studio for starters.
Mm.
They were rumored when they originally went off to make this project to be making it for PS4. But I guess Fable's come up. And the rumor going around from Eurogamer is the fact that they've seen the success of Horizon for PS4 and obviously... I guess you can tie into that, obviously, Zelda coming back with Nintendo when they don't have that, and they're trying to push to bring Fable as that, an open-world RPG sort of hack-and-slash game.
I'd have to say, if it is, it's obviously not going to be a Fable 4. It's going to be a whole restart to the whole franchise.
You would hope so.
Yeah. I mean, I would love nothing more than seeing another Fable out there.
Definitely.
Those games are nuts. Like, you go back and look at them now and you think, like, holy crap, this was like 50. How long ago was the first one come out? It's got to be 15, 16 years ago. Maybe
it'd have
more.
To be. Yeah,
Xbox One.
And like that game was absolutely revolutionary. Like, just the way that it made you interact with the world, the way that it had, like, you know, like a good, bad binary system, but the way that it fed into, like, how the character looked, and it was just something else. You know, I know that a lot of people get really down on the Fable series because of kind of later missteps, but I mean, I had a great time with Fable 1, Fable 2, and Fable 3.
Yeah, yeah. Fable the Journey was where it really started to spiral. I remember coming home one day, and my wife's a mad keen Fable fan, and I walked through the front door, and she's just sitting in a chair facing the screen, flapping her arms like she's fucking riding a horse. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? She's like, I'm playing Fable Journey. I'm like, well, this is dumb.
You know, that never existed. What are you talking about? That didn't exist. I actually missed the whole Fable series. But so I'm actually coming at this at a completely different angle, that I'm excited about it because I'm a Playground Games fan and I've loved their work so far. So, either way, whether Fables are tied to it or not, I'm excited for this in 2021 when it finally gets released. Fable. So I the other thing we're saying to Joey before it comes out, like, there's a lot of smoke here, so there's got to be some fire in it, but the fact that they haven't denied it and it's been going for about 2 weeks now sort of tells me that, well, they can't deny it, but whether they decide they don't care is another thing, I guess, as well. So
yeah
I definitely. I mean, I don't. I have no idea whether Fable's on its way back. All I would say is that if they were going to bring it back, now would be the right time to do it. Like, yeah. It kind of makes sense in the reboot calendar of games that Fable is about ready for it. Like, you know what I mean? It's just coming up to that right time.
We had the failing of Legends, so it's people are sort of now to the point where they really want one because they didn't get it last time. So
yeah, and I mean even Legends was that right? Fable Legends, is that what it was going to be called? That wasn't what people wanted. You know what I mean? Right. I remember when they first they announced and then cancelled it, but when they first announced it, I remember reading through all the news and people just kind of saying like, yeah, this is fine, I guess. Like, you know
but
what I mean?
We want a Fable.
We want a proper open Fable game, world, guys. Yeah. Wander around, get called Chicken Chaser Fable game.
And the other thing is Microsoft is lacking in big titles at the moment. So if they are making this move to, which Phil Spencer sort of talked about it, that they want to bring back the games, that look, they've got that title sitting there. It's not a new IP. I understand. I'd prefer a new IP. But look, if they've got that franchise sitting there doing nothing, they may as well do it.
They may as well use it. And it's an IP that does have a bit of feeling behind it for Microsoft too, you know? So they'd be stupid to throw it aside.
Yeah, it's a proper Xbox franchise as Fable. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I remember getting my Xbox. I traded a Bluetooth mobile phone for an Xbox. I was given this mobile phone at the time, and it was Bluetooth, which was the new big thing. Yeah. And this guy at work really wanted a Bluetooth phone. And I don't think he even knew what Bluetooth was. But he really wanted one. And I said, oh, my phone's got Bluetooth. He's like, I'll swap you your Bluetooth phone for my Xbox and my phone. And I've never said yes faster in my life.
For all the young kids listening in, Bluetooth never really used to be a thing in phones. You know, like it's in everything now, but it used to be rare. That's all I'm saying.
I was rocking a 3310 for another year because of that bloody thing. But it was totally worth it.
That phone probably still works. Fine.
Yeah, actually, that phone does still work. It is my mum's backup phone. The phone is still very much alive.
Perfect.
Speaking of things that are still alive, Xbox is trying to believe themselves that they're still alive because there's a lot of movement at the top here. So we've got Matt Booty, who used to be in charge of Minecraft, is now taking on this Xbox Games effort.
Which is a great name too, by the way. Like,
yes,
seriously.
It is.
Booty.
Matt I had Booty. To, I had to double check that I was saying that right, but I did. That's good. And Helen takes over... his old role, basically, the boss of Minecraft. So there's got a couple things moving around there.
Change is as good as a holiday.
It is. I don't think anything's really changed too much, but because there's not that many games that he's got to really cover in Xbox game efforts, and Minecraft's one of them anyway. So I'm not trying to say anything. We've not said it on the podcast before. I think technically we can almost call Microsoft an indie developer at the moment. Since they're bringing out very little. No, they're a small developer. They're not indie.
I mean, I wouldn't like to compare myself to Microsoft anytime soon. But
no,
yeah.
I wouldn't either.
Well, considering you've got how many games releasing?
Exactly.
Three definitely this year. And how many have they got? Three, I'm pretty sure you're three ahead. That's all I'm saying.
We've gotten, watch this space, because we're going to be announcing another game in about maybe 3 weeks.
You can't do it live on our podcast. That's a shame.
Do you just get bored sometimes, don't you? Like you're like, okay, we've got 47 things in the file, so let's go get another 20.
Just get another one. Grab another. Yeah. Yeah, another unsuspecting indie game walked past the house this morning, and I got him. I wish Microsoft all the best. I like competition in the marketplace, and you know, it these things go in cycles, right? Like, you know, the PS2 was amazing. Then the PS3 had a really slow start, and the Xbox took over. And the PS3 kind of came back, and now the PS4's come out, and Xbox hasn't quite fallen to the same extent the PS3 did, but it's not doing as well. But I'm pretty confident that, you know, give it a couple of years and you'll see a turnaround. These things go in waves.
They've got to make those games, which is, I think that's from the last sort of end of last year where they fell away, and they've got to try and fix that issue now.
Yeah. I think that's a big thing. Like, they've gone very hardware focused, and hardware is wonderful, but I mean, it doesn't matter what hardware you put in stuff if you haven't got games. I mean, look at the Steam boxes, right? The Steam boxes look like the best thing in the world. And
it's just got to bring out the Xbox, actually, as an Xbox, but an Xbox cardboard box, and they'll be right.
That's it. Getting your VR cardboard box. That's the thing to do.
I think the only game they've got coming up for the Xbox is Age of Empires Definitive Edition, which is out next month.
For the PC.
Well, it's on Xbox as well.
Yeah, so then they've also got Sea of Thieves in March. And they'll have Horizon 4 at the end of the year. But other than that, there's nothing else that I know of. Or Ori and the Will of the Wisp, that will be PC as well. So,
So Age of Empires Definitive Edition coming out. So like, that's, I remember I used to get those games in a CD in a cereal box, man.
Yep. Mm. It did happen.
Yeah.
It
was... Well, they're already doing it, like all the 4K representation and everything. So it's going to look pretty. I think the sprite
but they're actually
work...
changing the gameplay as well to make it a little bit more user friendly as well. So
they'd have to do with the controller. Like, it just wouldn't. It's an RTS. RTS games fucking suck on consoles.
No, I'll talk about the PC version of it as well. Is actually they're changing a bit of the game.
That's interesting. I mean, surely they don't have to change it that much. It's fairly simple.
As long as I can still put in the code that's going to get me a car with the launcher that.
Nah, not a chance. So, Joey, are you all about controllers? You're a controller dev now. You actually make controllers.
Yeah, that's true.
Are you excited about this Onyx? The Onyx wireless controller.
I'm not that big on wireless stuff in general, but I've like all the Hori stuff. I'm a pretty big fan of anyway. That's so they've like the Switch. The wired controller I have for the Switch is a Hori branded.
That's you did say that last week, didn't you? Yeah.
So this is the first third party officially licensed PS4 controller that is wireless, because they have a wired version already of this.
Yep.
I believe. And I'll probably just get one of those because, you know, you don't have latency. I don't really care about cables. Like, I live by myself. No one's going to trip over it other than me, but I'm hoping that I can't like jump around so much that while I'm playing that I'm not going to trip over the cable in front of me. But anyway,
I'm just going to, like, when I'm editing the podcast, I'm just going to snippet that bit out and have that to the side. So that one day where Joey says, "Oh, sorry, I can't come on the podcast because I tripped over one of my cables and broke my leg," I can be, "Ha ha,
that's it,
got it."
Man, I am nowhere near as unco as you guys.
Really? A long time. Wow, that's a big call.
Is this the controller that looks like the Xbox One controller, but in slightly PS4 hues? Yep.
Yeah.
So they've changed the stick position as well.
Yeah, it is literally, it's an Xbox controller.
I mean, that's fine because, I mean, I don't know if it's acceptable to say this in public, but the DualShock 4 is hot garbage. Like, that is like the worst controller that's ever come with any system ever. I hate that thing.
Really?
Yeah, okay. They break and they feel cheap and I find them really unresponsive. I mean, I've got like four of them through here and two of them stopped, you know, two of them don't work.
Two of mine have basically fallen apart.
I've repaired the triggers like three or four times because Bloodborne on those things just destroys the triggers. And I'm quite a light button pressure. I've got some friends that look like they're wrestling with their controllers when they play. I'm quite the gentleman. But I'm so unimpressed with the DualShock 4. And every time I pick up an Xbox One controller, I'm like, oh, this feels amazing. Mm. Yeah, I never use it because my Xbox One is sad and dusty.
Oh. You know, I've moved on to the SCUF, which is the bigger, fatter version, the new one, the Impact, which is still got the same dual thumbstick position, but that's just fatter controller like the Xbox. So it's Xbox shape, but with the layout of the PS4 controller. It's really, really good. So
I might give that a go. Because, I mean, I quite don't mind the Nintendo Switch Pro controller either. I heard a lot of people really hate that. Mm. And I don't mind that at all.
My problem with Nintendo is just the way they do the A, B buttons. They're just, like, backwards compared to, like, the confirm button is the right-hand button instead of the bottom button. So it's, like, just...
You see, I'm ambidextrous now because, you know, on PlayStations in Asia... It's the same. Circle is to select and X is to go back in Asia. Yeah. So because I've lived in the UK and China for so long, back and forth, I can just do both. Like I just know what's going on. But yeah, when I first got my first Japanese console and they swapped it, I was like, what is going on with my life? Yeah. This is my boy.
I bought a Vita while I was over in Japan second last time I was there. And the same thing, like I'm trying to fuck, I'm pressing X for shit to happen and shit's cancelling. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, no, Zelda, yeah. I do it in Zelda all the time. There is a way with the Nintendo to swap it around though, I think. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I did that straight away.
Even with Zelda and stuff, they allowed you to swap things from the traditional Zelda controls to the actual controls that people want nowadays. Yeah. And that was really good.
Groundbreaking.
But for a while it was, I can't even remember what it is on the PS. I can't remember what it is on the Nintendo controller, but it was Y on the Xbox controller to jump. And I was like, oh, this is painful. How is Y jump? This is the worst thing that's ever happened.
I do remember that. What game was that? It's kind of baffling.
That was Zelda. Like I think the traditional control for Zelda jump is it? Y. So if you change it in the menu, it swaps to A, I think.
Yeah. No.
Anyway, so let's talk about some card games, Joey, because that's up your corner too.
It's
Gwent
been a pretty
team.
Rough week for the guys at Gwent.
What happened? They've written a letter.
They put out a huge patch. But I think they may have rushed a little bit.
No.
Just a little bit.
Put enough effort into making sure shit worked.
Because they just press control save, push out.
I don't think they've been press saved. They're just kind of like, you know, they sent half a file to someone and like, there we go. That'll do.
That'll do. It's Friday night drinks, boys. We've got to go to drinks. Don't worry, just send it out.
Because the problem is like it was actually a huge content patch as well as bug fixes and stuff. So there's like 100 plus cards in the most recent patch or something like that, which is fucking crazy. Like doing that in a card game, nobody does that. Like it's just I can't even imagine. Like I think the biggest problem they're going to have is they're going to run into things in The Witcher to actually make cards from because they're adding in cards so quickly. But so yeah, lots of shit broke. Heaps of people complained. Like, sorry, we're gonna actually split content and bug fixes now, so we can test things better. Like, good idea. Okay,
might be a smart idea.
At least
are you still playing it or not?
I'm on and off. Like, I'll jump in and like build decks, and that takes like going through all the new cards and stuff takes about 40-45 minutes, and then I have to go to bed or something because. It's fucking midnight, and I just trying to keep touching on all these things, and you know it's hard.
Yeah, that's
but
fair.
I need to I have a friend, another Matthew friend, who's consistently last time I talked to him about it in depth, he was in the top 100 for Oceania, just players in general. So I introduced him to it, and he just shot straight up the ladder. I was like, Jesus, dude. Teach me.
Don't you hate that? Like, you find something, you do it for a bit, you're getting pretty good at it, you introduce somebody else and they just fucking soar away. You're like, I'm not doing this anymore.
It was really fun because, like, I had a couple of decks that he couldn't beat, but then they nerfed the fuck out of those decks. And I haven't beaten him since.
Oh, that sucks.
But anyway, that was when I was still learning. So I took those victories for granted, I suppose. So I just, you know, it was an early win.
You'll get good one day, Joey. It's all good. Explain what happened with the Magic the Gathering economy, though, that's been revealed. Arena economy, sorry.
Are you in the beta, Josh?
I've got an email. I haven't got the invite. I am in the list for beta invites, if that makes sense. They haven't given me access to it yet. So I am waiting for it because I don't want to get in and try it because I really do like playing Magic. It's a really fun game. I haven't really looked at what exactly this is yet. I'm trying not to get too much into it until it's actually close to me playing it because I don't want to get too fucking excited about something I can't really use, I guess. Well,
they've got in-game currency, which you get by winning. Then there's gems, which you can use real money to buy. I think the disadvantage, like I don't like having those sort of money to fake thing transfers. I fucking hate that shit. Mm. And that's where Gwent already, without having seen what MTG Arena is going to have beyond this, I think that's where Gwent already has a leg up because you're just buying, like with the money you put into Gwent, you get X amount of packs.
Yeah.
So, and there's no phony fucking conversion into fake bucks. So there's, yeah, I mean,
it's not $10 for one gem, which gets you half a pack. So you've got to buy two. Yeah.
Or some other weird fractional sort of investment. There's still like they're still talking about booster packs. They've listed like a few things like the regular booster packs, draft packs, which is 14 cards. Mirroring like the regular tabletop drafts and things like that. Individual cards, I think you can get those through like regular quests and things like that.
The one reason I stopped playing Magic on tabletop is because it got so goddamn expensive. You know, and I really like, I liked playing the Magic games like on the phone and on Steam and stuff, because you didn't have to put any money in, you can just keep playing and you eventually get booster packs. And you're like, I hope that Magic the Gathering Arena isn't just a digital version of the tabletop with the same money out you have to put in, you know? Because it's just like, it's a waste then. I'll just, you know, I'm not going to do it. I don't have the money to put into actually getting real cards, let alone digital copies of them, you know?
Have any of you guys heard of a game called Ashes? It's a physical card game, not a online one, though.
No, I don't think I have.
Check it out. Like, it's a living card game, but instead of being individual booster packs, they sell decks, but you can then mix up the decks however you want to within the rules of the game. And it's great. Like, me and my buddies all play it. We got super into it. Really beautiful art, really cool. And it just solves that Magic the Gathering problem, which where is, you know, if you want to actually play with anyone good, you have to spend, you know, a huge amount of money to do it. Whereas with Ashes right now, if you spend, I think, like $100, you get literally everything. And you don't need everything. You can happily play with just the base box. It's great. And it comes with, like, all pre-built decks and everything. So for the first, like, little while, you just need one box. And then, like, four of you can play. And you can just swap decks around. And it's an absolutely great game. And I love giving them shout outs whenever I get the opportunity because it's beautiful, it's fun, I really like it.
Might have to look at that.
Yeah,
Ashes, Rise of the Phoenix Born.
Okay. Sweet.
Okay.
I'm gonna jump into two little quick ones because there's a bit that I want to talk about at the end a little bit more in depth. So Age of Empires, we talked about before, is coming out, the definitive edition, February 20th. Will be hitting the shelves, and surprise, surprise, Metal Gear Survive requires a constant internet connection for an online co-op game. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, and has microtransactions. Wow, like see that. Cannot be
putting microtransactions in a game. That's just shocking. Okay, cool. So those two things happened. Joey, do you want to talk about the final chapter of Dragon Ball FighterZ before we get to play the game on Friday?
I won't even be able to. I won't be at home to play it, which gives me.
Yeah, no, you won't be. But guess what? We'll have a review copy, so we're bringing lots of content to you guys over the next week and a bit. So
I'm really hoping that there's going to be some sort of event at Japan Evo to like support the release. It hasn't been any announcement to it or like any reference to it being played at Evo, but I reckon there'll be a booth there.
Oh, there'd have to be something.
There's got to be, surely. But anyway, so Android 21, who has a Margin, or that pink guy transformation. So her story is that everyone kind of knew she was going to be the last character, but we've now gotten more info on how you actually play her and that she has that transformation and how she ties into the story as well. So she, much like Cell in the series, if you guys watched it, he just absorbed the other androids to, you know, power up. She can do that with anyone. And effectively take, you know, features from them and then meld them into herself with DNA. I don't know. It's Dragon Ball Z. It's not really doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Doesn't make sense. It's not meant to make sense.
But she's the last character in the roster. So there's still going to be DLC characters. I have a feeling there's going to be Jiren from the new series. Probably a couple of the other characters from the Tournament of Power.
There'll be like all the super characters as well that you meet through the, you know, from Dragon Ball Super, like Goku Black will probably end up coming.
He's already in there.
He's already in it. Yeah.
So you've got Hit from the Tournament of Power. Oh, he was in the tournament before that as well. But I have a feeling, Jiren, he's like number one that'll be coming in from that tournament. Probably Dispo, who's one of Jiren's offsiders from his team. But I think there's a couple of other lower tier guys who might make it in, like the dog trio. There's like a trio of dog characters. They might make it in.
As if they've got a small roster to choose from.
No, exactly. And that's kind of half of the problem they've got. They've got a lot of fan favorite characters like Broly from the movies.
Yeah.
He is fucking huge in South America. I don't know why. Because, I mean, Dragon Ball Z in general is massive in South America, but Broly is a huge favorite. And I'd be disappointed if they didn't add in Cooler, which is Frieza's older brother
Yeah.
I'd be kind of upset if they didn't add him, but
yeah.
I don't think they will because he's not nearly as popular. But anyway,
It's
coming up well, and I think we'll get, when they start adding a couple more DLC characters, I think the roster will actually be really impressive.
Yeah, so it's out very, very soon. So like I said, we've got Josh, he'll be doing a bit of writing on it, and I believe there might be some streaming happening from your household as well. So.
Oh, hopefully. Still trying to work through that and some money to invest there before I can really do much of that. But
okay, it's coming. So there will be content from our website anyway. So the big thing I wanted to talk about, who he was actually after, an alien shooter game set in the actual Alien universe. Anyone?
And I think everyone wants a fucking good one.
Yeah.
But a shooter?
Yeah. A shooter doesn't ring my bell. But, I mean, alien games are good sometimes.
Yeah. Occasionally. Do that. Make it horror. Make it scary. Don't make it a shooter. But Fox Studios knows better, and they've bought Cold Iron Studios, who are making a game set in the Alien universe, movie universe, and it's going to be a shooter. So I'm assuming probably somewhere in the Aliens section of the universe, but yet to be seen. Fox Studios, I don't know why they're bending money before Marvel gives them a whole heap, I guess, anyway. Reeks of something to me. But look, it's happening. Are you excited? Any of you guys excited about this bit of news? Like Fox getting into the gaming industry and Fox bringing Alien Computer?
No.
I would love to say I was. I mean, I'm always down with seeing whatever people are up to. But, I mean, no, not really.
None of that seems like a good idea. Except for the fact that, hey...
No combination of those words excites me, unfortunately.
It screams at me that someone in Fox has a brother or a cousin that owns Cold Iron Studios, and they went, we got all this money, we're about to come in, dude, you want some of it? Okay, we're just going to buy your studio before we're not allowed to make those decisions anymore. Look, that's what it feels like.
There's going to be some kind of plans. I just, like they should.
The problem is the precedent is fucking awful. The last shooter game associated with the Alien strategy was Colonial Marines, which is an absolute fucking shit show.
Yeah,
it was handled poorly by everyone involved, and it was fucking garbage. So, realistically,
it's like infamously known as like one of our biggest kind of PR disasters of the new generation of consoles and stuff. Yeah. So,
and Randy Pitchford is fucking tool.
I feel like they gained back a bit of the credibility when the last Alien game launched.
Isolation,
the name of Isolation. That's the one. Because that was absolutely magnificent.
Wasn't a shooter.
But that kind of blows my mind that, like, you know, you create something that obviously there's a market for and that people got psyched about, and then it's like, well, what should we do? Let's just go back to the same shite that everyone else is doing.
Yeah, that worked, so let's not do that again. Yeah.
Do you know what we're lacking in this world? First person shooters.
Yeah,
we need more of them. We need more of them.
Much more.
I kind of miss Alien vs. Predator, like the original.
Yes.
One of those, but that's not what this is going to be, which is a shame. So
I'd like to see it. I have really fond memories of Alien vs. Predator from when I was like a kid, and you remember that bit where you're like playing as the alien and you're like, you know, becoming the alien? So you start off as a space hug,
start
and you
small.
Find the guard, and then you say, then you're that little snaky thing, and you have to, and you find a box full of kittens. That's what you actually find. You find a box full of kittens. Amazing. And then you kind of, you know, you get bigger and better and like unlock more. It was just like a really nice experience, you know.
Eating a box full of kittens is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically, if I could eat more boxes of kittens and games, I'd be a much happier man.
Well, that's what PUBG's missing, to be honest.
Boxes of kittens.
That's it.
That's, by the way, that is another indie's next game. It's a kitten devouring simulator.
There you go. You heard it here first.
Kitten biter.
So we've had a few trailers released this week. There's some of them that aren't even on here. Do you want to talk about any of these in particular? Like Dynasty Warriors 9,
I think
looks amazing, and I want to play that, but that's just some feature highlights.
Yeah, like it's obviously, the thing that strikes me is it's totally different from the other Dynasty Warriors games. Border Break.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
if you ever want to, if you ever want to see like a company going, wait a minute, we can sell shit in China now, right? This is the ultimate example of a company realizing that if they step their shit up, they can be a AAA success in China. Because, you know, the Dynasty Warriors have kind of, you know, they're always really good. I always really enjoy them, but they're very much of a mold, and that mold hasn't changed in the better part of two decades.
Yeah.
But now that China is an active marketplace and there is no studio that has the kind of China's biggest IP. I mean, Three Kingdoms is the Chinese IP. Nobody has that down as well as Koei Tecmo. So it's like, yeah, like if they can pull it off and make an open world, really good Dynasty Warriors game, then that game is going to sell like hotcakes in China. Like, and they don't even need to worry about the rest of the world. It's going to sell that well. They just need to really nail it.
Yeah, they're making every step perfect at the moment. Like, they're answering every issue that you sort of have about it. They're coming out and saying, well, this is how we're going to tackle it. And it seems pretty good so far. So
I'm actually kind of interested to see. So speaking of Chinese, you know, influence on games in general. So the Total War announcement recently for the Three Kingdoms. I mean, it was a matter of time, really, because that's something. Yeah, it's like, what other famous historical things could they do? Three Kingdoms.
Well, I mean, so if you come to China, you will see that about 90% of all Chinese mobile games are based in the Three Kingdoms.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It's but it's not. So for, I guess what the way to look at it is like, how many games do we play that are set in quote unquote medieval times? Where it's all anachronistic, it's not really medieval times, but it all has a similar aesthetic and it has similar kind of themes and ideas, and you have the evil prince and the good commoner, like that's kind of like what the Three Kingdoms is in China in this setting. It's like it's more of a archetype than an actual setting, if that makes sense. So there's a huge amount you can do with it. Obviously, it has its like super strong characters and things like that, but it has been used in many cases as more as a kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a framework, like a skeleton. There's a lot that you can do with that. And especially because for the vast majority of non-Chinese, their actual interaction with the Three Kingdoms is Dynasty Warriors. Like, you know what I mean?
100%.
Like that's like probably the, which must really horrify Chinese scholars when I come to think about it. Like, their biggest, they're like, one of their magnum opuses of literature and how do Westerners treat it? Fucking Dynasty Warriors. Got it.
Hey, look, Japan offered it to us. We just ate it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. Don't get me wrong. It's great. By the way, if you ever want to read those books, you should, because they are nuts. Like, you think that, like, the what happens in the game is crazy. What happens in those books makes the games look pedestrian.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
I'll have to check it out.
A lot more wizards.
Oh, nice. So,
there's a few in the Dynasty Warriors games.
There's a few in the games, there's a lot more in the books. And some of the warriors have got some wizardy tendencies as well.
Yeah, right.
And there's great bits, just like one man holding back an entire army with only a spear and things like that. Things that happen in the game, like, it's very obvious why that game chose that setting. It's really good. I strongly recommend it.
Hmm. Now you want to talk about Border Break as well?
Yeah, it's like a rad like mech game. So there's a Gundam Breaker trailer that was released as well. So the next Gundam Breaker game, and I was like, yeah, fuck yeah! So we need more mech games. So Gundam Breaker, and then I saw this Border Break. I was like, okay, cool. Getting one from Sega as well. And then I kind of got, you know, had a bit of a deeper look into Border Break, and it's fucking riddled with microtransactions and shit. So I was like, okay, well, that one's off my list. I'll stick with Gundam Breaker. But there's, I mean, there's one other game that I picked up recently on Early Access, the Forged Battalion game, which is, yep. I think it's a, some of the guys from like old Westwood Studios or something like that, ooh, like an old RTS studio kind of got back together and they've made that.
Yep.
And I played that a little bit with a friend. It's quite good. But they really want you to play for the long haul so that you can, because there's like a tech tree in there that you, when you finish a map or a game, you get points and you use those points to unlock the tech tree. So until you've played the game a fair bit, you don't really have access to all the units, which is kind of like counter to how most RTS games work. None of them are strict upgrades. It's just like you've got like energy weapons which work, get better against fucking buildings or whatever, if you like that. And so that's a cool game. It's got a nice little trailer, but it's still in early access, so maybe hold off a little. Depends on how you feel about it. Up to you.
Yeah.
So we'll get into listener feedback if that is all the news we got. Well, Ian tries not to die on us.
yeah, sorry about that, guys. I took a swig of water and it went down the wrong way.
Water's a killer, mate. The silent killer.
I know, right?
We've got the beautiful It's Benny in Discord has come up with the question, gaming trend you want gone in 2018. I think we all know what that's going to be, but surprise us, Josh.
Yeah. I think I might surprise you, maybe. Maybe. Let's see. I want people to stop releasing a game.
Games.
No. Like a game that, like,
less video games.
Yeah, a game that is like they're charging full price for, that should really be a fucking expansion.
Yeah.
Just cut that out. Like if you're just make it an expansion to the real game, to the game. Like don't release a full game just for fucking half an hour's worth of extra content, you know, like just expansion it, you know, like, okay. And it probably comes even into, you know, definitive editions and everything that release at the end of the year, release the game with the DLC or fuck off. You know?
So, Joey, anything outside of the obvious?
It's kind of a tough one. Like, obviously, microtransactions can suck a dick. it's past the trend now. It's just there.
Yep.
So they need to just fucking get out of here.
Okay.
Trend. What should we say? We're so far into the trend. Yeah, nothing has started recently other than maybe like VR chat memes. That can fuck off. I'm done with that. I mean, I fucking love the Russian tank Knuckles video. That's one of my favorite things ever, but it's now riddled with copycats and I don't want to see it anymore.
Okay, that's fair. Ian, is there anything that you've seen happen in gaming that you want to see vanish at all?
Maybe not perhaps gaming, but certainly angry gamer rage on Twitter, I think, has kind of gotten out of hand in the last 12 months in a way that, well, it's been getting out of hand for a long time, but it seems now like it's just a perpetual background noise of just consistent rage, which is both exhausting and infuriating. I'd really like that to stop. Like, I understand that when things happen, and a lot of things happen that aren't great in the games industry, but just like constant outrage, like, and it goes both ways, you know. It can be like outrage about censorship, or it can be outrage about lack of censorship, or it can be out, you know, it's just constant out. You're just pissing off somebody all the time.
So then, Ian, as a publisher, like, and talking about, you know, that constant, you know, outrage that seems to be out there, like, unlikely that it would have happened with one of your games because they're so damn good. But like, if you had had somebody or some outrage come out about one of your games, like in that format, would that have just initially, would you turn around and go, you know, fuck off? Or like, would you, would, like,
no, I mean,
does it put you off straight away?
It certainly does when it's just, I mean, like, there's a great one today. Like, I'm not going to call out the article, but there was an article today that wrote about a game that dealt with a trans character. And the game is incredibly respectful of that trans character and does a really good job of, like, making this character a character. And at one point in the story, and it's a part of the plot, it is also a game mechanic, it's part of the plot, is that something happens to this trans character which some people found, like, a little bit, oh, shit. They were dead names, you know, like, their previous identity was brought up. And yeah, like, I understand that that's a sensitive issue and things like that, but there was all these outraged pieces and all these outraged people just immediately, like, nobody's even stopping to talk to the creators, nobody's stopping to ask any questions, just instant outrage. And from everything that I've gathered and everyone that I've spoken to, like, the game's beautiful and clever and really supportive, but it made a choice to do something that it wanted to have, like, a, you know, it kind of where he wanted to go, like, that's not good. And instead of, like, accepting that as part of the experience, it's actually now turned around and become, like, this huge negative thing. And I just think that fucking sucks. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you have a, if you want to do some kind of assassination piece, you know who you really should speak to? The developers. And, you know, especially if you're a writer or a working for a website that kind of has the ability to do that. You know what I mean? Like, if I get a call from Kotaku or somebody big saying, hey, we want to talk to one of your developers about a game, I will get that bloody developer on the phone for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because that's, you know, like, I need that level of attention. So when you're in that situation and it might take you an extra 24 hours to get your hot take out, actually take that extra 24 hours and do your job, like, talk to the people involved and try and make it, like, a really good solid article as opposed to, you know, a one-sided hit piece. And yeah. I think that happens
a lot. These guys aren't journalists.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of times now, like, and it's not, and the thing is, it's not every games journalist or anything like that. Like, the vast astronomical overwhelming majority of games journalists I meet are down to earth, passionate, interested, and committed, you know? But just every now and again, people get overhyped and they go a little bit too far. And, you know, that happens in the best, but it's just, it fuels outrage. And I feel like that's a problem because outrage gets clicks. It gets clicks from everybody. You know
that's
what I mean?
The biggest problem with the world at the moment.
You know, I clicked on that article. Other people clicked on that article. People who agreed with the article and disagreed with the article clicked on that article. And, like, I get that that's kind of how the machine works now, but I'm really unhappy with it, and I don't think it's healthy. And I think gaming, for some reason, has become a real focus of it. Like, for some reason, somehow, like, gaming's really kind of got this huge split down the middle, which you know, just leads to this nastiness.
Yeah, that's probably a fair call.
Yeah, divide and conquer, my friend. That's how the world works.
Yeah, very annoying. I don't want to see. I don't want to see the war between the FPS and the VN breeders anytime soon. It won't go well.
I think the weebs have an edge. They're far more cunning.
I suspect so. But yeah,
I'll quickly chuck my two cents in before we move on. Unless you've got something else, Ian.
No, that was my one.
Okay, cool. Yeah, just the fact that new release digital costs are still more than physical costs is a joke. Can we have that trend stop, please? Can I
talk to Nintendo, mate?
Oh, don't zap me on Nintendo. So Stevie Jar has broken his promise and he started asking questions again, and we're not streaming the podcast. So thank you, Stevie Jar, for coming back. He wants to know, do you know the way?
No,
we've already addressed this.
I actually haven't seen this meme. I really need to brush up on my memeology because I've had about 20 people message me recently saying, do you know the way? And I had to, and then someone said it's Ugandan Knuckles. And I was like, it's who now? Like,
it is genuinely quite funny, but it's too prone to copycatting. So yeah. I've got a couple of select little videos I can flip you away and fill you in.
Yeah, throw me the good shit.
That's it. Oh, I've got it. Don't worry.
No heavily cut memes for me.
No, Meme Lord Supreme's got your cup.
Now we've got a 55 part question here from Last Wave Agent, so hopefully we'll get through this pretty quick. It's directed probably at you, but if you want to listen to Super Hype Train, we do cover a lot of these questions on that each week with the indie devs, so go check our back catalog. He wants to know, what's the definition of an indie? Can you give us a highlight of that, Ian?
Yeah, so I mean, by my definition of an indie, it's a small studio that doesn't have a lot of money. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's about 15 or less people who are doing their best to make cool games and are not incredibly rich. Like, they're basically generally living game to game. That's a weak definition, because it is very difficult to actually typecast what an indie is. And you know, my company name is Another Indie, so you know, if I'm saying that, I think it's official.
I was gonna say, like, we're almost at the point soon where indie just loses its name together, and it just becomes another developer, which means you've got to change your business name to Another Developer instead of
another developer, or just another game. That might be
just another.
I think our plan when that happens is we will become AI publishing.
Nice work.
That's a good one.
So the second part was, we sort of covered it. When is an indie no longer an indie?
To be honest, I feel like to be honest, like, most companies I know that have been indie are still indie. Like, you know, for example, like Mike Bithell Games, you know, kind of was a very small studio and is now becoming a bigger studio, but they're still, the way that they approach everything is very indie, and as far as I'm aware, they're still pretty much just owned by themselves.
I mean obviously
you can't be an indie that's owned by Ubisoft, you know what? I mean, like, that you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, there was those, I remember when Ubisoft a few years ago released a whole bunch of cool little games that kind of had that indie feel to them, but they weren't indie games, but they were very good games. They were smaller in scale. Child of Light and Grow Home, I think, are the ones I'm thinking of. But you know, they're not indie games. They are indie style games, maybe, but they're not indie games. It's a weird label. I think it really does have a lot more to do with the attitude of the individuals and the financial situation than anything else.
Yeah. So the last part of the question is a two-parter. So it's, do most indies aspire to become a big studio? And if not, why not? And is the loss of artistic freedom inevitable with the growth and the size?
It's really hard, because I think when you get an initial studio, a lot of times they try to do really crazy things, and a lot of times it doesn't work. So what actually happens is, it's not a loss of creative freedom or anything. What it is it's an understanding of limitations.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've worked with people across the gamut, you know, from first time developers to seasoned pros. And what we generally find is that the seasoned pros are much more consistent with what they deliver, just because they know exactly what they can deliver. Whereas the new guys are very kind of passionate, optimistic, and they're trying all this crazy stuff out. And that's part of the process, and they should do that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we budget time for that. We make sure that is a part of it.
Do you find a lot of those guys do feature creep, where they go, we can add this in and then we can add that in?
Oh, yeah. I mean, without a doubt. I mean, to be honest, I've never worked on a game that hasn't had that potential. You know what I mean? Where we're all sitting in a meeting and you know, it's like, God, if we just added this one extra thing, it'd be perfect. And you're like, sit the down. you're not wrong, but no. But you know, like, it's just part of life. Feature creep is a really big part of indie development, that's for sure. And I know many a good indie that you know, kind of lost their way, or you know, games that were so good but never even got out, because they just got too big, too unwieldy, and then they couldn't be finished. And that's really sad.
Yeah, definitely. From a lot of the indies that I've talked to with Hype Train, a lot of them don't want to become a big studio because things just get tougher, from my understanding, when you start going bigger. Like, you've got more people to deal with. You lose the control over the project. They're happy to have a success. I think that's what they aim for more than anything, just a game that's going to pay all their bills off for the 4 or 5 years they've spent on it, or 3 years they've spent on it, and then give them enough of a cash pool to be able to go to that next project that they really want to do. So I really don't see a lot of them becoming big studios. I just see them making better games in the future, which is what I'm so excited about for Australia for the next 4, 5 to 6, 7 years, because we've got really good indies at the moment that are coming out.
Oh, man, Melbourne's... Melbourne, man. I don't know how it's possible to get that many creative people into one space. Like, just mind-blowing.
They have a space down there where basically if you're an indie dev, you can walk in. I can't remember the name of it, but the arcade, that's it. And they just go there and they just work together. Like, a lot of these guys have talked about where they've decided they want to do something and then they haven't had the skill set to do it, but then this other studio has come in and helped them along with that. So just because of that arcade setup down there. So,
We work with a bunch of those guys in the arcade as well, helping out with things like Chinese and things like that, just because, you know, it's a great project and everyone's really working together. And it's an incredible experience. Like, you know, I've been drunk in the arcade a few times now, sleep in the arcade, just because everyone's like super welcoming and just like everyone's so busy and working on such cool stuff. And you're just going from office to office, just like, how in the name of all that's holy is this going on in one place? Like, you know, it's like, it really is amazing.
I'm so keen to get down there if I'm ever down in Melbourne outside of a PAX, because it just can't happen while you're at PAX because they're all at PAX. So, look, I'm really excited. Like I said, when I see these devs that are here at the moment bring out these amazing games with their second and third attempts over the next 5 to 10 years, it's just, it's so exciting. But,
yeah.
Hmm. Can't wait.
Carry on.
I was just about to transition, but you got one last thought, I guess.
So I was gonna say, like, I think like you said, a lot of indie devs, they don't necessarily want to kind of get big in like the classic sense of the word big, but I also think that like the classic sense of the word big is dead now. You know, like, everything's kind of moving on to a gig economy, everything's moving on to people kind of not working in traditional roles or at traditional times. And I think that indie is kind of a part of that. It's people that don't necessarily want to be in work from 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. It's kind of a different dynamic. It's more of a camaraderie. And, you know, like, that presents its own problems and its own issues. Like, I'm certainly not saying that, like, the old school way of doing things is wrong. But I think that there's a whole group of people, especially kind of millennials, that are, you know, they're wired to work in a completely different way from the older generation.
Definitely. Yep. Well, even with the fact that AA sort of studios have gone away, like, there's no real massive stepping stone for an indie to go to the next step, which now these days is a AAA. So, like, it's such a hard process for them to even consider doing that, like, to go to the studio of that size and magnitude. Like, I could see publishers, like bigger publishers like yourself, be getting bigger names and having more groups of indies under them, and that's how they get bigger exposure in the future. But that's the only way they're going to grow at this stage.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what we want to do. Is like, we want to basically work with as many people as possible and kind of build a community based on that. So that's kind of what Another Indie is doing right now in Asia, is that we're bringing together as many talented people as possible to create kind of like a melting pot, and see what comes out of it. So, you know, for us, it's of course the games need to sell because we need to make money, but the hope is that these people will keep creating new amazing things, and, you know, everything's just going to keep getting better and stronger.
Okay, cool. I need to talk to you, Ian, about getting some of your devs onto my Super Hype Train at some stage this year as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And most of them are not the best at speaking English. That's the only problem.
That's the problem. So we need to probably get you on for a few episodes,
are.
I think.
Some are as well. Okay. So we've got a nice cross section. The shot fired guys speakers, their English is as good as mine. Okay. So they'd be happy to talk.
Okay. We'll talk about that after. Probably not the best time to organize it on a podcast. So let's move into what are we all looking forward to. Ian, is there anything you're looking forward to besides Le Grand Legion? Is that what I got?
Legacy.
Man, yeah. I feel like there was just something I was looking at today that's... Oh, Lost Sphere, which comes out the day after Le Grand Legacy, which was really bad timing.
You'll be fine.
But yeah, I love my JRPGs, and I just finished Xenoblade. So I need something to kind of get me going. Oh, I did. Oh, yeah. 168 hours of Xenoblade glory.
I'm at like 84, and I haven't picked it up.
Even scratched the surface, my friend.
I'm just...
And that's what scares me about JRPGs, and that's why I don't touch them.
Oh, yeah, man. There was a couple of nights where, like, it's me and my flatmate Vlad, who also works for another indie, we were, like, chaining it. So what we were doing is one of us was playing on the TV and one of us was playing on the sofa in handheld mode. And then when the handheld mode was out of battery, we'd swap it into the dock. So that's how we played Xenoblade. We were chaining it with our Bluetooth headphones on. It was the most. It was wonderfully depressing. But yeah, so I'm really looking forward to Lost Sphere because it looks cool.
Now, Joey, besides flying to Japan, I guess you better actually mention that as well. What are you looking forward to?
Man, I'm looking forward to being in Japan.
Yeah, how good's that?
I'm just flying there. I've got like so many little things I want to try and do in the space of basically 2 days. So,
you know, you probably won't be sweating your ass off in Japan either.
I'm going to be freezing my ass off because it's snowing.
Yeah, it's pretty nippy over there.
Yeah, I've got my big woolly jacket. I'm excited.
Now, if I remember correctly, somewhere in Japan, in Akihabara, they have, in Tokyo, sorry. Is that where you're heading to? You're heading to Tokyo?
Yeah, I'll be staying in Shibuya, and the event's at there's a building just south of Akiba Square. Oh, sorry, just west of Akiba Square, and then day three is at Akiba Square.
I think, if I remember correctly, they are showcasing the new House of the Dead arcade game somewhere near there. So if you get the chance to go and check that out, it's apparently great. Like, it's apparently, like really, really good.
That sounds sick.
You're going to burn. Yeah. Like, if you're wandering around at night, man, across the massive Sega arcades that are like 3 or 4 stories tall.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to burn so much money in there, man.
He hasn't got money to burn. What are you talking about?
I have very, very little.
So the only other thing I'm assuming is Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. It's going to be a whirlwind weekend. So I don't even know if I'm going to be on next week. So we'll see.
We'll see what happens.
I've just got to kind of try and digest everything I see in Japan and then try and compact that into something to present for the website, and then we'll
create a few vlogs, mate. You'll be right. You'll be hipster. Well,
have I got access to the Facebook?
I don't know. Don't ask me questions I don't have answers to.
Gosh, answer the question.
Yep, working on.
Good.
Okay, you might see some Facebook streams, you might not. Josh, what are you looking forward to besides pissing Joey off when you tell him you can't Facebook stream?
I'm going to do that like on the last day too. So I'm actually flying down to Brisbane tomorrow. I'm going to see Foo Fighters.
Oh, that's right.
So I am as hell for that, man, because I am just really looking forward to a break for a little bit of time. You get away. Also looking forward to Dragon Ball FighterZ because I want to get my hands on that. And I want to practice, and I want to beat Matt because Matt is really, really good at fighting games, and I'm going to beat him at this one.
No, you're not.
So I'm probably not, but I'm going
to tell you,
try.
Mate.
I'm
going to
try.
Let me just set the scene. So when we were down at PAX, I was standing over at the Dragon Ball FighterZ booth. Matt was doing something else. I played it for a little bit. I didn't really get a feel for it, but I was beating the AI hands down. So I was like, okay, well, obviously, that's just dumb beta AI. They're not doing anything. That's fine. Then Matt Cameron's like, oh, dude, let's play together. It'll be sick. And then he beat pants off me as bad as I was beating the AI. He hadn't played it before.
Yeah, first time he picked it up too.
Good fucking luck. That's all I can say.
Thanks. I'm also excited just to get some kind of new snippet of Red Dead Redemption 2 news. I don't care what it is. Just I need something else to keep the hype going.
Yeah, that's
you know, to inject that into me. You know, that's what I want. But I'm also pretty excited, having spoken about it now, to pick up Le Grand Legacy and probably have a look at that. Because
Yay!
Games, the game I was talking about, you know, like the Final Fantasy 7s and 8s and stuff, it's the kind of games I grew up playing and grew up loving, you know. So keen to have a look at that and see what that's all about too.
Sweet. I'm definitely keen to play some Monster Hunter World and stream it and create a heap of content for it, which is pretty good, especially after my taste in the beta. Sea of Thieves beta starts tomorrow, technically probably late tomorrow night our time, so I'm pretty keen to get into that. I have access because I've been in the technical alpha. Don't tell anyone, shh, because that's NDA. And the Division has got Global Event 4 starting pretty much in the next hour. So my favorite tactician set is finally becoming classified in this, so I'll be pretty much trying to get as much pieces of that as I can. So pretty excited about the week ahead. So that's pretty much it. Ian, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thanks,
I don't
man.
Want you to go yet, but we're going to start wrapping it up. And when you go, don't leave us. But yeah. Where can people find you and another indie and anything else you want to sort of plug at the moment? So Le Grand Legacy.
Yeah. So if you want to follow Le Grand Legacy, we're just at Le Grand Legacy. It's great making up your own words because you always get the Twitter handle. If you want to join the conversation about any and all of our games, we always recommend the Discord. So it's discord.gg/AI.
How did you get that? Very, very soon.
How on earth did you get that handle?
We're Discord partners, and we just were the first people to ask for it. We, you know, wow. we kind of jumped on Discord really early. Right. And when we got partnered, we just said, hey, can we have this? And they went, yeah, sure. And I have a feeling that that's going to be worth more than the company in about 10 years.
Probably,
if Discord keeps growing.
I was going to say that.
But yeah, so come on, join in. We do a lot of like competitions and giveaways and things like that. So it's well worth your time.
The community in there, and they're full on.
Yeah, we're always doing a whole bunch of cool stuff and doing like competitions and stuff. And if you want to follow me, I am Memnoch87, MEMNOCH87 on Twitter and some other places too. So yeah, just come in. I'm very friendly, so if you've got any questions or anything, you can always ask.
And just quickly, a little plug for us as well. Said Ian and I had a pretty good talk at PAX last year, and we spoke about a few of the games that we've discussed here tonight, so Shots Fired, Sin of Sacrifice, Redemption, and Original Journey. And you'll find an article about that up on our website. So if you want to go and see what any of them are about, jump onto the website and have a look at that as well.
Definitely do that, for sure. I just joined the Discord too, and I got a bot.
I was going to say, it just popped up in my bottom corner saying, welcome, Wilco. So you were spotted.
Yeah, that's it. That's why I was on mute and not talking for a bit. So I'm in there. It looks pretty good. Everyone's saying hello. I can't talk to you right now. Sorry. Joey, where can people find you at the moment if they want to? Japan somewhere? Well, on the ground, in the gutter?
Yeah, maybe. I'll be at fucking Japan Evo, motherfucker. Goddamn, I'm excited for
that. So you're getting a Twitter account to celebrate this. Excellent. And it's what's your Twitter?
What?
What?
No.
You're not? Oh, okay, you're not. No. I tried, people. I did try.
I shall not subject myself to such things. I'm on the Discord. Joe Dredd. Can't miss it in the members list on ours, the USM Discord. You can send me an email as well, joey@ultrasupermega.com.au. We have email and website back up. We had some minor technical difficulties, but we're back.
Yeah. Yes, and, I love technical difficulties.
But Josh, if you want some sweet memes, send me an email.
Okay, that's the easiest way to do it. Joshy, where can people find you?
I am Supermega Josh on Twitter and on the Discord. I'm kicking around a fair bit in there. You can also find me. I play mainly on the PlayStation, so give me a shout out if you want, and if I've got the game, I will play. I will be playing Dragon Ball FighterZ probably next week once I get it. So give me a shout out and come and school me.
Okay, sweet. I just want to give two special shout outs before I tell you where I am. Stevie Jar, I know you don't listen to the end of the podcast. I really love you, mate, and you've really missed this lovely announcement that we're gonna. No, I won't say it now. I was going to say it, but you don't listen to the end of the podcast, so bad luck. But no, check out Damsel, guys. Really do. Check it out. It's a really good game. At Screwtape Studios on Twitter and at Damsel on Twitter. Go share the love with those guys. They've done a really good job with that game. But I am Wilco's Chill Zone on all the different places. So Twitter and Twitch at the moment. I'm trying to resurrect a few things to do with YouTube at the moment as well. But as always, you can get all our content at ultrasupermega.com.au, including go to the social tabs where our Discord is. We don't have fancy little shortcuts. It is 100 different letters and stuff. So get the link off there. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook as well. We've got some pretty good stuff coming this year. We're going to be a lot more active than we were this time last year, and we're coming up to our 2-year anniversary of the website. So yeah, definitely come in, say hi, don't be shy, review us on iTunes, all that kind of stuff. Thank you again, Ian. It has been so good tonight to chat to you.
Yeah, thanks.
We will.
I've really enjoyed it.
Oh, good. I'm glad someone finally enjoyed it.
I'm now spamming you with memes about you getting your knuckles.
I did notice there was some stuff flashing, being memed up.
Enjoy.
On that note, we are going to sign off. We'll catch you all next week. And with with Megs and Anthony on the podcast from Damsel, that'll be great. So catch you all next week. See ya.
See you guys.
See ya.
Catch you later, guys. Bye-bye.